Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
And good Thursday, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Today's Issues. The regular gang is away. There's a coup underway here at American Family Radio. You have a bunch of different voices for today's program. Joining me in studio, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. And Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland, who needs no introduction, but we always introduce him anyway. And coming to us not from his home in North Carolina, but Alex, you are where?
I'm in Indiana at our third youth camp of the summer at a Higher Ground Christian Camp, and they have graciously given me a conference room to set up gear and broadcast. So, Fred, it's always great to be with you. Chris Woodward, you did a magnificent job yesterday, and it's good to be with you guys and talk about God's solution to the world's problems.
Yes, absolutely. Great to have everybody here. Well, Chris, we want to get to the breaking news.
Yes.
Remember that little bag of cocaine found at the White House? Well, the report is out, folks. And I was going to say you're not going to believe it, but I think our audience is probably going to believe what the Secret Service investigation has come up with.
Yes. In a story you can read on our website, which is afn.net, the government has announced that they've not been able to recover any fingerprints or a DNA sample from that bag of cocaine found at the White House. They don't have any leads at this point. So imagine, if you will, a giant balloon filled with air, and all of a sudden it's just deflated really quickly. That's what it kind of seemed like today when this was finding, and I'm using air quote, was announced.
Well, and in the Associated Press story we just put on our website, afn.net, this is what the Secret Service officials say. Without physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was found. Alex, if someone is a little bit cynical about this report, we probably can understand. So the bag of cocaine is there. They discover this. No DNA, no fingerprints, no surveillance cameras pick up anybody.
It's just dead ends. It's like they would say on Dragnet, you know, it's a cold case. It's dead end. But let's think about this, Chris and Fred. Whoever brought cocaine into the White House would have to have been somebody that could go through without the normal security protocols. Help me here. Who could possibly get into the White House bypassing the normal security checkpoints? Maybe like, oh golly, a family member of some staffer?
Maybe a friend of the president or a relative.
Maybe it would have to be somebody very close to the president, somebody who in other contexts was known to have used drugs, and maybe somebody who could have access to rooms that other people didn't have access to. Golly, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it seems like this case could be solvable.
One would think.
Yes.
One would think, and I have to believe if there was a Republican in the White House, by golly gee, I think you've got to think, you know, you've got the FBI, you've got the Secret Service, you've got the CIA, you've got, you know, the justice system of the whole United States of America, and there's a bag of cocaine. Yeah. With absolutely nothing in the way of evidence on it.
If this was Donald Trump or another Republican in the White House, Brian Stelter would still be on CNN talking to his reliable sources about whose coke it was.
All right.
There would be a dossier.
Oh, yes.
And let's remember, this result follows a similar result from back, 18 months ago, thereabouts, when there was a leak of the Dobbs decision that came out of the United States Supreme Court to this day, after supposedly a thorough investigation, they cannot find out. Because I think there was a total, there are 37 people that work for the justices. So talk about a narrow possibility of suspects. To this day, they cannot find, they cannot tell us, or they won't tell us, who leaked that decision.
Yeah, and I think that shows kind of the state of the media today compared to, say, 50, 60 years ago, when you had people really doing investigative work to go after certain individuals that were possibly doing wrong in the White House. I have my doubts that mainstream news outlets that have vast financial resources, they can't figure out who this belongs to. It plays into the assertion that many people have that the mainstream media is completely in the tank for this president, and they're not going to do anything that makes him in a bad light.
Well, listen, one of the other aspects, I suppose somebody who had gloves on, maybe, then you could believe no DNA, no fingerprints. But I find it hard to believe, Alex, that there are no surveillance camera records showing anybody in that area.
Because in the White House, in the Capitol, in our governmental buildings, unless you are alone in a restroom, you are on camera.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the White House, if you're, like I say, unless you're in a restroom using the toilet, you are on camera. What they need to do is look at that surveillance footage. Now, I wouldn't dare imply that the FBI is like the Keystone Cops and just horribly inept, but we can help them. And, you know, this is a government of the people and by the people and for the people. I bet, Fred, they just haven't thought that there are surveillance footage. We should write in and tell them, and maybe we could help figure out who's bringing felonious, illegal narcotics into our White House.
This is not going to end. The Republicans are already demanding a briefing from the Secret Service. They want to see the extent of the investigation on this. Listen, let's be very frank. When this story came out on July the 2nd, I think it was, a lot of people started mentioning the name of Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden has been seen visiting the White House a lot lately. He's been with the First Family when they go to their weekend retreat from time to time. So, listen, I think the American people are justified now in their growing concern about what is going on. Yesterday, Chris, we had FBI Director Christopher Wray,
right,
who was pummeled with questions from Republicans on the Judiciary Committee about what they feel and what Americans, many Americans feel, is bias within the Justice Department against conservatives, against Christians. And this is not going to help the concerns that people have about what's going on right now under the Biden administration and what's going on under the banner of justice in this country.
Right. And you're talking about Hunter Biden. That was one of the names mentioned in many of the questions yesterday in the back and forth between Republicans on the committee and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Here now is a sample of one of the things that happened yesterday that involved Hunter Biden. The soundbite here is going to begin with Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida reading from that transcript of the business call in which Hunter said Joe Biden was with him on that call, and then you'll hear a response, or lack thereof, from FBI Director Wray. Clip one.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you.
It's moments like that, matched with today saying there's a lack of physical evidence, we're going to close this investigation, which is why more and more Americans just completely don't believe anything their government or the law enforcement agency known as the FBI tells them.
Alex, this is not good for our country.
No. You know, after Clinton, after Obama, I never thought I would say this is the most corrupt administration in U.S. history. I mean, for a lot of reasons, business dealings, profiting off of the compromising of national security, but the politicizing of the Justice Department. And, hey, by the way, why don't they subpoena Hunter's cell phone records? Because while he was doing lines of coke in the Executive Mansion Library, he no doubt he was on the cell phone cutting a deal or, you know, leveraging his last name. But a thorough, honest investigation that actually yields truth, I just don't know. And that's why, folks, and look, I'm only speaking for myself here, but it's been several decades that the Democrat Party, for ideologies that we could take the whole show talking about, we want here, but they have turned into something that is horribly toxic for this nation. And we need to pray, and we need to vote, and we need to vote for people that are people of good faith, people that are constitutionalists, people that want to preserve our nation, not destroy it.
One of the other things that Republicans talked about yesterday was the supposed censorship of the Hunter Biden story on social media. This is the laptop story from 2020 that we now know was pretty much not allowed for many Americans to see it on Facebook and other social media platforms, which Republicans have said was pure evidence of election interference on the part of big tech and the FBI. Congressman Jim Jordan talked a little bit about that last night on the Hannity program, clip two.
They pre-bunked this story, and Facebook specifically asked the FBI, is the Hunter Biden story Russian misinformation? And the FBI said, no comment. This is after they had the laptop for an entire year, after they'd been telling all the big tech companies, get ready for a hack and dump operation.
Yeah, so there you have it. I mean, Alex, we're saying this is serious for this country. It has been said before. It seems this Biden administration is bent on turning the United States of America into something akin to a banana republic. When you look at what is happening to the January 6th, hundreds and hundreds of people have been arrested. Many of them have been sitting in jail cells waiting for their trial way back for a year and a year and a half. Some are being sentenced to as much as 18 years in prison. Now, we're not justifying the behavior of some on that day, January the 6th. But when you look at the prison sentences, and Alex, I tried to compare it to the destruction from Antifa and Black Lives Matter at protests, for example, in Seattle, in Portland, Oregon, where buildings were burnt down, police property was destroyed, and we see none of that. And again, once again, this is, you know, we kind of look at this story that broke this morning with regards to no evidence of who had that bag of cocaine in the White House, according to the Secret Service. But I tell you what, this is serious business, and I don't think we're going to see any improvement whatsoever because until there's an election. And but I do believe, I think here's the good point I want to make, Alex, and get your comments on it. I think the good point in all of this, I think the American public is waking up.
I hope so. You know, in a coup attempt, whether it be Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, dictators that have coups for voices of dissent, there are what sometimes fascists call a memory hole. People just disappear. Physically, they were there one day, they're gone the next day, but their memory is wiped out. Their words, as much as is possible, people's words, people's influence, people's critique of the regime is erased. And we're seeing that. And folks, look, I love God and country. I am secure in Christ. I love America. I still have hope for America. But Americans believe this. We are in the midst of an attempted coup. And look, it's July 13, the year of our Lord 2023, and I pray to my Savior that what I'm about to say never comes to pass. But if there is another leftist woke, that is Democrat administration, And if we don't break the hold that they've got on our courts, our judicial benches, the DOJ, we will see the end of the U.S. Constitution, and with it, the end of our liberties. No more religious freedom, no more preaching the gospel. Now, I'm not angry. I'm not have no animus toward anyone, but we have to understand what so many ministers don't acknowledge, what so many people are willingly blind to. We're in the middle of a coup, an overthrow of America. Now, we have recourse. We have prayer. We have voting. We have the microphone of AFR, and there are other voices. But, guys, we're in the middle of a takedown of our Judeo-Christian republic, and may God grant that it doesn't succeed.
Chris, on the flip side of all of this, because of what's been going on since Joe Biden became president, there are groups that are rising up. I think of what happened in Virginia, where you had a whole state switch from deep blue to deep red,
right,
when parents found out what's going on in their schools. You have groups, and I know you've done interviews with Moms for Liberty.
Correct, yes.
And they're growing like crazy across the country. Again, their focus is mainly education. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe that the Biden administration has pushed things too far to the point, and we see this in polling, independents now have turned against the Democratic Party. So I do have hope that the country is waking up.
Yeah, Moms for Liberty, I mean, they're exploding, really, not just growing, exploding. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, Alex and I did, on the show. And you know you're growing when all of a sudden groups start calling you like a hate group,
yeah,
and they start making threats against you and whatnot, which sadly has been the case with Moms for Liberty. Another organization that's been growing and doing a lot has been the Leadership Institute, which is kind of the parent organization of Campus Reform. Mm-hmm. Bridget Ziegler at the Leadership Institute does a lot of hands-on training with parents to get them involved in school boards, run for school boards, things of that nature. So it's not just Moms for Liberty. There are several groups out there. We've talk to many of them, and will hopefully continue to do so, because it's issues like we're discussing here where government is doing something clearly wrong or something's fishy going on, and people are saying enough is enough. And they're not just getting involved in national elections. In the case of Moms for Liberty and the Leadership Institute, they're trying to do stuff from the local level, because as many people have pointed out, if you want to change what's going on in the White House, you need to change what's going on in the State House and the local courthouse. And make an impact there at the grassroots.
And Alex, I think another positive point, and we can thank the former president, Donald Trump, for the work he did on nominating conservative judges, because we are seeing the benefits. It's not only the Dobbs decision, but several other decisions with regards to pointing out that the administration shouldn't be talking to social media people, trying to influence and really trying to extinguish First Amendment rights of people who have an opinion different from the government.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons that I do have hope, and I encourage people to remain hopeful. Donald Trump, you know, a lot of people didn't like him because they felt like he tweeted mean things.
Mm.
But his place in history is assured, Chris and Fred, because of appointing not only at the Supreme Court level, but in many district courts, President Donald Trump appointed constitutional jurists. I won't get into the philosophical weeds about this subject, but natural law, in other words, they believed in morals, the rule of law, and the Constitution. And that might just be like the little Dutch boy who saved the dam or the dike, just a tiny little bit, but enough of a tipping point that they could hold back the Marxist globalist ideology that's being attempted to be enforced upon us.
Well, if you just joined us, you're with Fred and Chris and Alex, and our breaking news this morning, the headline is at AFN.net, our website, a headline, no fingerprints, DNA sample, or leads from cocaine found at the White House. In fact, the Secret Service basically saying, there's nothing more we can do. That's it. We're going to be getting lots of reaction to this today, Chris, and so stand by, folks.
I do want to mention one more soundbite here while we have a moment. It's not just Republicans saying, hey, you know, my social media accounts have been squashed. People haven't been allowed to see my viewpoints and my First Amendment rights and free speech and stuff like that. We've got Democrats out there saying, hey, look, my social media accounts were also targeted by the FBI and other agencies. One example of one of those Democrats is presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who himself says his social media stuff was targeted by the government. Clip five.
President Biden was sworn in on January 21st, 2021, and they started censoring me. The White House gave an order to Twitter and to Facebook to begin censoring me 2 days later. Oh, and then I was removed with almost 900,000 followers from Instagram. I'm still being censored.
It might be that, you know, this is probably one of the reasons why Joe Biden doesn't want to debate Mr. Kennedy in a presidential race.
Yeah, I think, Alex, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. presents a problem for the Democrats right now.
Yeah. I mean, he holds to viewpoints that no one is supposed to legitimately have. And he's not in lockstep with the woke ideology, the globalist, hypersexualized, revisionist history, Marxist worldview that constitutes all that the Democrat Party is about these days. He is a problem. And, hey, you know what? God bless him. At least there are some people out there that still engage in independent thought and action on their convictions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think another reason that we can be hopeful of some degree of turning is the left media turning on Joe Biden with regards to his denial of this grandchild who lives in Arkansas. New York Times this week, I think, came out with an article on that. Was it Maureen Dowd?
Yes.
Yes. Who is no conservative, but pointing out, and I've seen even other Democrats saying that Joe Biden is wrong on this. Somebody pointed out, you know, Christmas time at the White House, the Biden White House, they have a stocking for their dog.
Yeah, but they are not for the seventh grandchild.
But not for the seventh grandchild. And there's just that even liberals can be pushed to a point where they say, this is, I'm shocked that Joe Biden would play the grandfather role. Mm-hmm. They'd like to paint that picture of him, and yet he is denying this precious little one.
This, I would not be shocked if, let's say, 10, 15 years from now, this kid doesn't write a book, I'm the Forgotten One, or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Reflections on a Grandfather I Never Had, or something of that nature.
Right.
It's the one thing, Alex, that I think that irks Americans across political lines.
Yeah, well, look, hey, Fred, you're old enough, and you and I are close in age. I've got a word for you. Not just Navy Biden, Rosemary Kennedy. Do you remember Rosemary Kennedy?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The lobotomized Kennedy child that was forgotten. Mm. Never, again, the fascists have their memory hole. People that are uncomfortable, people that don't fit with the narrative, people that have to be erased. Rosemary Kennedy was forcibly given a lobotomy. Look, the Bidens, this is how they roll, folks. Human life is expendable. Morals don't matter. What matters is the narrative and the ideology.
All right, you're listening to this Thursday edition of Today's Edition and Today's Issues. Fred with Chris and with Alex. Hey, listen, much more ahead, folks. World Economic Forum. We're going to be talking about that with our good friend Jan Markell, listening to her show last weekend. Remember the phrase being used by Joe Biden, build back better? Well, it turns out that was not created by the Democratic Party or by Joe Biden's campaign. It goes way beyond that, folks. You're going to want to be listening to this when we come back on this edition of Today's Issues. Back after the break.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And indeed, we are back. Fred Jackson, along with Chris Woodward and our good friend Dr. Alex McFarland, in today for the The regular team, who's off doing some AFA business today, do not worry. They'll be back tomorrow for Trivia Friday. So we're here filling in today, doing the very best we can. I tell you what, no matter who's in these chairs, there's always a lot of news happening out there. And along with today's issues, many great programs here on American Family Radio. And one of those programs that I enjoy listening to on a regular basis is our good friend Jan Markell with Understanding the Times, heard right here on American Family Radio on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central and then on Sunday at 12 noon Central. And Jan Markell joins us right now. Jan, welcome to today's issues.
Well, Fred, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Listen to your program last weekend. Now, yeah. you deal a lot with the World Economic Forum. And tell us a little bit about that body and how it connects to biblical prophecy.
Well, the Bible is very clear, Revelation 13 and other places, that a one-world government is coming upon the earth. We believe that that's very likely during the biblical tribulation, 7 years of Antichrist ruling on earth. Believers will not be present for that. But some organization has to head this up, and I think many thought it would be the United Nations, which is becoming almost more and more irrelevant day by day. But certainly stepping into the spotlight is Klaus Schwab and his World Economic Forum, which is actually it was assembled in 1971, so it's had over 50 years to gain steam and gain not only world recognition, but gain world leaders signing onto it, which the world leaders seem to be, Fred, more than willing to do. But in the process, someday they're going to have to give up national sovereignty, some of these nations, including America, perhaps, we don't know, to be a part of this, well, this global one-world effort, which, again, the Bible talks about. And I think Schwab and his WEF probably will take the world into this global government.
Absolutely. One of the aspects of your program last weekend, I tell you, I was shocked by this, because yeah. we all know during the election campaign, we heard Joe Biden say over and over and over again, we need to build back better, build back better. Mm-hmm. So I figured that was just a campaign slogan that the Democrats came up with, that Joe Biden's campaign came up with. But then I heard, and we're going to play this montage yeah. of world leaders. I want you to listen to this, folks. And we're going to come back and talk to Jan about this. But it goes to your point, Jan, that world leaders are willing to sign on, I believe, yep. to a globalist-type government. In other words, get their agendas in line with a globalist body like the World Economic Forum. Have a listen. This is a montage of world leaders using that phrase, build back better. Let's play that.
We also want to work together on building back better from the pandemic, a slogan that I think that Joe has used several times. I think he may have nicked it from us.
Once we shut down the virus and deliver economic relief to workers and businesses, then we can start to build back better than before.
But it is undoubtedly an opportunity for us to work together and build back better.
Build back better.
As the world recovers, we have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
And building back better our economy and society.
We owe it to future generations to build back better and base our recovery on solid foundations.
The second plank in Build Back Better advances racial equity by mobilizing our infrastructure.
Together we can fix this. Let's build back better.
Building back better after disasters is also vital to prevent creating new risks. Together we can build a safer world.
Four sets of priorities can guide the response to build back better.
You know what Donald Trump will do with four more years? Blame, bully, and belittle. And you know what Joe Biden will do. Build back better.
Well, there you have it. That last voice, Bill Clinton, I think most people recognize. Jan, Am I going too far to say Build Back Better is code speak for a global agenda?
Yeah, and I think that the question after hearing that clip is who's conducting this choir?
Yes.
And that's what it is. And I would maintain that it is Mr. Schwab and his World Economic Forum who wants to be the major player in global government. Now, he's well into his 80s. I believe he's 83. He may be 84 at this point. And he certainly got some years left, but will he be the one to be directing this in the future, a global government? Or will some successor, or will he appoint someone? Or will it be this Israeli, Yuval Noah Harari? Or will it be the Antichrist spoken of in the Bible? And we don't have an answer to that question, but everyone I just named would make for an interesting discussion.
Alex?
Well, you know, I was listening to that tape, and oh my goodness, this mantra, it reminded me of Hitler's claim that says, you know, you can make the public believe any lie if you repeat it often enough and forcefully enough. And Jan is absolutely right. Jan, great question. Who's directing that choir? And we are moving, and only the United States, a Judeo-Christian, sovereign, constitutional, representative republic, we have been, and maybe with God's help still can be, the force that can stand against globalism. But, oh my goodness, those voices of building back better, that, Fred, you're right, it's code speak for this new world order, this post-pandemic utopia that's one more man-made Tower of Babel without God and even against God.
Jan, it's all about control, central control. I know in your program you talk about the evolution of digital currency. We're talking about control of food production. We're talking about, I think on your program back a couple of weeks ago, you talked about, I think, was it 15-minute cities?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Talk a little bit about that 15-minute cities, because, folks, this is going to shock you also if you're not aware of this.
Mm. And, again, we don't know the timing of the things that are being proposed here. 15-minute cities, they're saying, you know, by 2030, a lot of other things, their goal is 2030. Will they make it? Well, that depends on God and God's end-time timetable. But the idea behind 15-minute cities would be that humanity in the major cities of the world will be confined to, well, an area where they can travel in 15 minutes. And if you can't get to your job, to the hairdresser, to the grocery store, to the doctor in 15 minutes, then they're going to suggest that you move so that you can do that in 15. And this is all, again, to save the planet. It's this fictitious narration about climate change, and we know who's in charge of the climate. God's in charge of the climate, not the globalists. But this is the mantra that they're portraying, that they're giving out day after day after day. And then they come up with the solutions to the problem, 15-minute cities, whatever, global government. Eventually they're going to say the solution to all of this is Mr. Man with a Plan, the Antichrist. And I don't believe Christians will ever see his face or know his name, will be enjoying heaven. I know that's theology that's debatable, but that happens to be my belief. So, but we have some very challenging days coming up, and I think what we're seeing now is the setup for all of that. And the question is just how much of the setup will we see?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Jan, terrific program. What you got coming up this weekend?
Pastor Billy Crone will be with me in part two of our discussion on the items that we're talking about. We're going to throw in some new topics in part two, including UFOs and what is the prophetic meaning of these signs in the sky, these UFOs, because we maintain they're not coming from outer space, they're coming from inner space, and I think most of your audience knows what I mean.
Hey, folks, it's exciting programming once again. Jan Markell, the host, Sarah, Understanding the Times, heard Saturday, 1 o'clock Central, right here at American Family Radio, then again on Sunday at 12 noon Central, right here on AFR. Jan, thanks so much for all the work that you do. Exciting program. I call it must-listen programming, really.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Appreciate it so much.
All right, Jan. Thank you so
much.
Goodbye
now. Bye.
Chris, it's when I listen to Jan's program, and you put it up against prophecy, Book of Daniel, Book of Revelation, it is amazing. You're tearing today's headlines and you superimpose them over scripture, and they're looking mighty similar.
Yeah, and I would recommend people really pay attention and listen to what Jan and her guest have to say, because we may have gotten into this at some point in the show earlier this year. A number of news outlets have labeled the whole 15-minute city thing a conspiracy theory, but you got to be careful taking those people's claims as truth, because oftentimes these people out there, when you control the thoughts, you control the narrative, you're trying to control the minds, and you all of a sudden you've made a whole bunch of people go, well, don't listen to them. No, you need to listen to them and figure out what Jan and others are concerned about.
Absolutely. All right, next story.
Well, my 13-year anniversary at American Family News is coming up, and never in my wildest imagination as a 28-year-old man with brown hair when I started here did I imagine I would be saying medical officials and authorities are talking about chest feeding. This is something that's been in the news for several days. Steve and others talked about it earlier this week on the program. You can find that on our podcast page on AFR.net. But I bring all this up again because Dr. Roger Marshall, who's also a U.S. senator from Kansas, was a guest yesterday on Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. And Dr. Marshall, who's an OBGYN by experience and profession,
has delivered over 5,000 babies.
Probably knows a thing or two, right?
Yes.
So Dr. Marshall is concerned about this effort, this push by the woke left to, A, embrace the idea of a man breastfeeding a woman or a baby. But also, Dr. Marshall is concerned about the medications that people are prescribing these transgender folks to try to even make this remotely possible. Clip six.
They are using a medicine that the FDA has taken off the market. They're combining it with hormones, estrogen and progesterone, as well as a diuretic, giving it to these men who are then chest feeding the baby with this fluid that's coming from their chest. We'll just leave it at that. We know it's not, there's no way it's got the same nourishment. It doesn't have colostrum in it. Colostrum is what God gives women in their first couple of days of breastfeeding. It's full of antibodies and antioxidants to protect the health of the baby. I think there's no way that there's enough caloric value in this trans fluid either to nourish the baby. Again, they are in direct contraindication with the FDA. The CDC is way outside of their lane. They put their woke agenda ahead of the health of newborn babies.
This is shocking stuff, Alex. This is our government. This is the Biden administration, the FDA, giving approval to men to inject these chemicals in their bodies, and then these chemicals are being put into babies. And God forbid what is going to the impact it's going to have on these precious little kids.
You know, Fred, I could say transgenderism is an ideology that the left would die for, but transgenderism is an ideology that they're willing for you to die for. Okay, this drug, domperidone was taken off the market by the FDA in 2004. It's been known to cause life-threatening heart arrhythmia, right? And we know that heart disease, heart attack is one of the leading killers among men. But here's the thing, as Senator Marshall said, this fluid, this bodily excretion that this rogue medication can generate is not colostrum or not milk like a mother could feed her child with. But, I mean, this is so dark. And what's sad is the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, ostensibly one of the custodians of national health, is promoting this medicine that the FDA has taken off the market. And again, this is an ideology that is against fact, it's against nature, it's against the welfare of people, but it's being allowed and encouraged because of an ideology. And thank God for Senator Marshall having the courage and the professional cachet, he's a medical doctor, to stand against this.
You know, Chris, what Dr. Marshall is warning about, I am shocked the American Medical Association isn't out there saying to our government, to the CDC, to the FDA, you cannot do this. This is dangerous right. for little babies.
Right. You would think, and there was a day and age in which the AMA and other well-known, respected medical groups would have stood up and done that. But now, sadly, a lot of those have moved to the left. The AMA went left a long time ago. We've done a lot of stories, myself, Charlie, Steve, on all the woke stuff they're doing there, pushing transgender stuff, critical race theory, all kinds of crazy cattywampus ideas that they've got going there.
Good word.
Yeah. Alex, this is a political agenda trumping common sense and trumping the concerns, the health concerns that we should have for people.
Yeah, well, we're in the age of political ideology trumping the welfare of people. I mean, one word describes that, and that's the word pandemic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, folks, this is why, you know, it's the very same people that in their desire for there to be no legal protection for the unborn, their desire for abortion on demand, they said, my body, my choice, and follow the science. And yet the Center for Disease Control, which is under the jurisdiction of the federal government, by the way, and, you know, the great Hippocratic precept, do no harm. Guys, in one of the talks that I do about the LGBTQ trans ideology, I've said this many times, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but I've interviewed oncology doctors and nurses who spoke on the condition of anonymity. They said, please don't use my name. I could lose my job. But there, when one engages in transition and engages in hormone replacement therapy, there are 17 types of cancer that they become subjected to that otherwise most people wouldn't have ever, and certainly not at young ages in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And so the medical community being co-opted or really, you know, intimidated into going along with the trans ideology, it's terrible, it's tragic, it's immoral. And I'm thankful for Senator Marshall from Kansas being able to stand against it.
You know, there's another story, Chris and Alex, that's out there today, and this is the Associated Press, and their headline is, first over-the-counter birth control pill gets FDA approval. And I was reading this story this morning. These birth control pills are now going to go on the shelf in your drugstore next to aspirin. And there is no age limit on this. An 8-year-old will be able to go into a drugstore and purchase these birth control pills. And there's nothing that the clerks there can do about it. They'll go up, they'll pay their money for this, and they'll go out. And I mean, it's, and again, we don't know what kind of impact this is going to have on little kids if they start to digest these things. But it's
well,
just,
Fred, let me say this. Forgive me for interrupting, but you know, these are the same, you know, people that are selling the morning after pill at places like Boston University. $7.50 out of a vending machine can get the morning after pill. Now, here's the thing: if you read the Word of God in Romans and 2 Peter chapter 2, the denial of truth is followed by the loss of morality. And I want to say this, the left, that sexual activity, no matter how deviant and dark and unspeakably wrong it is, sex in all of its perversions, they want sex with no physical repercussions like pregnancy or STDs. They want immorality without any spiritual repercussions. But I want to say this. The rights of people can be obstructed. Governments and educators can be leveraged. But one thing, God will not be mocked. And the repercussions of our spiritual darkness, there is coming a day of reckoning. There really is. I pray we would turn to God before we stand before Him in judgment.
Chris, this news this morning about the FDA approval of this over-the-counter birth control pill, it is just another reason where mom and dads have got to make themselves aware of what's going on out there.
Yeah, don't just go home at the end of a long day and plop down on the couch and binge watch a drama on Netflix or whatever your streaming service of choice may be. Talk with your kids, know what they're into. Certainly, you need to know what your children are talking about through text messages and whatever social media outlets you might allow them to be on. You really need to know because this kind of stuff, you would be shocked. Like, I mean, I have children, and we haven't discussed this at the kitchen table, but sometimes they come up and they ask me things at the table or they ask me things on the way to school, and I'm like, where in the world did you even know about that?
Yes.
You will be shocked at what kids know about and what they're talking about at school.
Alex, is this the kind of thing, too, that you're using, the kind of material that you're using at these summer camps? And talk a little bit about the importance of these summer camps and the kids that are coming, because our kids need to be aware of this.
Oh, well, thanks, Fred. Yes, my website is alexmcfarland.com, and right now I'm in Indiana in the third of seven summer camps in front of 1,250 kids. First of all, they want truth. Kids are hungry for truth, and they really do respond. We tell them, we had a dozen kids accept Christ last night.
Amen.
19 last week, but hundreds coming forward to pray for their friends, pray for America, pray for their schools, pray for their families. Kids want truth. Kids aren't against truth, but they're looking for direction. And you know what? Here, guys, I'm 59. I'm long past the days of, you know, being hip or cool, if I ever was, which I never really was. But here's my point. Kids will gravitate toward adults that know what they believe, they have conviction, they're willing to spend the time to talk to kids about reality. And I'm like the mayor of dull, and yet I have hundreds of kids every month that they want to talk to myself and my staff about how to know the Lord, how to build a future, how to be a part of America. And I just want to challenge every church, every Sunday school teacher, every adult, teach young people truth. They will respond. All it takes is T-I-M-E. If you're willing to take up some time with young people and they know you care, they will listen to what you have to say. And what we tell these eager little ears and hearts is truth about God and country.
Alex, what would you say to pastors? What you're doing at these summer camps is just incredible. But these kids need to be getting this at their home churches as well. They need to be getting this information. Sunday school teachers, pastors, youth pastors, they've got to get on the ball on this stuff.
Yeah. Hey, fellow pastors, let me say this. The surest way to lose a war is to refuse to admit that you're in a battle, right? So from the pulpit, and as you train your Bible study leaders and Sunday school teachers, I call on pastors to preach worldview-ish sermons. And listen to today's issues, AFR. Listen to Jan Markell and Tony Perkins and Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano, Abe Hamilton III, the Addisons, Bert Harper and myself, Jenna Ellis. Because, look, we're in a battle morally, culturally, spiritually. And, hey, guys, let me just say this, and again, I'm only speaking for myself. Pastors will often say to me, they'll say, but Alex, if I preach about morals and politics, our church would lose its 501c3 status. Okay, that is false. That is false. No church ever, since the saber rattling of LBJ in 1954, the Johnson Amendment, no church has ever, quote, lost its 501c3 status, because churches, by an act of Congress in the 19th century, churches are tax-free. Here's my point, guys. But even if we pastors were in jeopardy of losing some IRS standing by telling the truth, that's all the more reason to all the more loudly proclaim God's truth. Mm-hmm. As a minister and as a citizen, will not be silent. Our government is anti-God. We've got to save our nation. And I believe pastors, for all the more reason, should use their position and their platform to call people to vote for the right candidates, speak about issues. One last thing, Fred, and I'll turn it back over to you and Chris. The Barna Research Group, and we all know George Barna, he's great. 78%+ of parishioners want their clergy to speak about political, moral, and social issues, but only about 5 or 6% do. Pastors, man up, stop being a coward, and get in that pulpit and preach truth to your hungry people.
The Bible uses the word shepherd, and we know what shepherds do. They lead their sheep and they protect their sheep. And that has great meaning for today. And moms and dads, like we've talked about before, Chris, moms and dads, you need to be aware. And I want to invite you, go to our website, afn.net. By the way, you can sign up there at our website for a daily email. And I you get our top stories. And if you want a quick summary of worldview issues that are ought to be important for your family, for your church, that email is important to get each day. All right, Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break for news, Alex, and then we're coming back, and Steve Jordahl will be with us because there's much more news to talk about on this Thursday, the 13th of July. Back in a moment.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.